Have you guys ever been to a party, like a birthday party or a Christmas party or a wedding reception or a going away party? Any type of those parties have you been? I hope you have, because if you haven't, I'll feel really bad for you, because parties are awesome and I love parties. I love going to them all the time. And hopefully you're going to one this weekend or next weekend. I don't know. So basically in the parties, you have this highlight person, that one person that everyone says great things about, and that's the why you're throwing the party. So that person can feel super special, right? So usually you have this guy with a mic walking around saying like, oh, who wants to say great things about the birthday boy? Or walking around saying, who wants to say great, awesome things about the couple that's about to get married, right? These awesome things happen, and we have these parties all the time, and we throw them to the loved ones, we throw them to our friends, we throw them through a lot of people. But one person we're forgetting is Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that you can actually throw any type of party to Jesus and for Jesus. And every single day you can do that. And you might ask, how in the world am I going to throw a birthday party or any type of party to Jesus every single day? Like with a cake or with candles or with a piñata or with like balloons or something? I don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can actually throw parties to him by praising him. Basically, in a party, the whole idea is to puff up the persons whose party is the party about, right? So when you go to a class, right, for example, and someone gets like an A on the test, and the teacher just keeps talking and talking and talking about this guy, and you're not the guy, you got like a C or D, so you're not the one that she's talking about, and then you're like, why is the teacher keep puffing up this guy? She really should stop puffing him up. That's basically what praise is. The dictionary actually says that praise is an act of admiration, an act of like exaltation. You're basically puffing someone up. You're making them feel super, super special, and that's why you're throwing them that party. So if we give praises to God every single day, you're throwing him a party. Doesn't that sound good? I think that sounds good. So basically, you can do that. And you might think to yourself, how am I going to do that every single day if I'm not happy every single day? If every single day I don't have things to be praising God about. I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to be super happy to praise God, because God has to have praise no matter what. And I'll tell you a story. Several years ago, I went to school. And as I'm going to school, I have this dean. She was amazing. I loved her with all my heart. And she was like a mom for me, because my mom was all the way in New York City. So I loved her, and she took care of me. Everything I needed, she was there for me. If I needed her for anything, if I needed anything, she was there for me. So one time on Friday before I got home for Sabbath, I was biking, and I passed through the girls' dorm, and something hit me and told me, hey, go see and visit your dean, right? And as I thought about this, I wanted to see her, I really did. And as I'm biking, I'm like, but I have my stuff to do. I have to do my homework. I have to do like chemistry. I hate chemistry. And I have to like clean the whole house. I didn't have time to go see her. So I didn't. And I just kept going and biking off. I got home. And when I got home, I did all my homework. I cleaned the house. I fell asleep and knocked out. So as I'm knocked out, someone comes into my room, my roommate, and she knocks on the door. And when she knocks on the door, she's like, she wakes me up and startled me. And she was like, Hadani, you don't check Facebook. And I was like, obviously, someone says, tells you not to check Facebook. The first thing you're going to do is what? I know you said it. Check Facebook. So I opened up my phone, and I looked, and I flipped, and I got on Facebook. And I was like, the first thing I saw hit me like a ton of bricks. My dean just had gone through a car accident, and she didn't make it. And even to this day, I felt sorrow. I felt sadness. I was upset. I was super angry at myself more than God, because I didn't stop a few hours ago just to see her, and I had the opportunity. So I took my headphones, I blasted my music, and I biked to campus. I got to campus, and when I got to campus, I went to the ceremony. And when I was there, people were talking, and things were going through one ear, coming out the other. And I just didn't have, nothing stuck until someone up there said something amazing. And she opened the Bible, and she said a verse that was amazing. She said, with my mouth, I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord. And in the midst of many, I will praise him. Him. So even though you're going through a really difficult situation right now, even though you're going through a bad patch of your life right now and you want to end it all, still give God the praise. Still throw Him a party, because by throwing Him a party, you're making Him happy. By making Him happy, you're making yourself happy as well. And you should do that, because that's what's going to make you happy. And you're not going to be sorrow. You're not going to be into sadness. You're going to be just happier. There's this lady that wrote this song. It's this amazing song, and I love it. It's all over the world right now, and everyone loves it. And people it really touches their hearts. And people are like, what in the world? Why does it touch our hearts so much? Well, she wrote this song through a difficult situation. She was pregnant. She was about to give birth, but she lost her baby. And she lost her baby, and she was looking through the Bible, trying to comprehend how in the world she's still going to keep singing to God and praising God if she just lost her baby. So she's like trying to comprehend. She's looking through Psalms, trying to read, trying to see what she can find. And she saw how David and all these other songwriters were writing songs and praising to God, even though they're going through pain and bad situations and bad, just difficult times. And they just wanted to end it all. They still give God the praise. She saw that, and she was like, I'm going to give God the praise still. You can do the same today. If you continue to give God the praise, making Him happy, making Him smile, He will make you smile as well. So it's up to you to make that happen. So let us give God a party. Let us get the cake ready and get the piñata ready. Get everything ready. Get your Bible ready. Get the music ready. Let us be able to give God the praise, because that way, making Him happy, He'll make you happy as well.
So when I think about praise, I think about awe-inspiring and breathtaking moments at the hands of God. These are gracious, loving moments with God where you're experiencing something that you've never experienced before. And it takes your breath away. It's awe-inspiring. And it seems like sometimes God is like reckless and just doing something totally crazy outside of your comfort zone, but it's great. So by that I mean, I was endeavoring to do something really ridiculous in my life. And by ridiculous, I mean, I had a great time, but to others, I think that they might think it was crazy. So I decided earlier this year to jump out of a plane. Okay, don't freak out, but I decided to jump out of a plane, and it was probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. And I know you're thinking, I would never do that. I would never jump out of a plane, but let me tell you, okay, so I wasn't afraid until the doors of the plane opened. And when the doors of the plane opened, I rethought my entire decision. But at that point, it was too late. I was strapped to my tandem instructor, and we were about to free fall. And so we were coming to the edge of the plane, and he just kind of one, two, three, and then we fell out. And as we were falling, we were free falling, and you would think that you would have that experience of like your stomach dropping, like when you're on a roller coaster, but I didn't. I just felt like I was floating, and I began to look out over the horizon, and I saw houses and trees and birds and people, and I thought to myself, what a great God this is that I worship, one that would create something so beautiful and then give me an opportunity to free fall and see it. This story reminded me of something similar, something awe-inspiring, and something almost reckless. It reminded me of the story of Joshua at Jericho. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but there are these Israelite people, and they had gone through slavery, and they had been oppressed, and then they were delivered from that oppression, and then they get to this place where God had called them to be, but they were too afraid to go into it, and so they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the older generation dies, and then the newer generation is deciding to go ahead and take up that mantle and go into the promised land. So we get to this story at Jericho, where the older generation has passed and passed away now, and you have this newer generation about to take on this promised land and this promise that the Lord has given them. And because of their past, God has called them to do something almost similar to what they have been doing. So, you know, in the wilderness, they were wandering for 40 years, but then they get to this place where God is calling them to take the promised land, and he asks them to walk around some more. But this is different. Before, they were wandering aimlessly, but now he's asking them to circle their promise. He's asking them to circle the walls and circle the city of Jericho. He's not asking them to fight. He's not asking them to do anything other than circle and walk around, which almost looks closely related to what they were doing in the wilderness. But now it's something with a purpose. And the thing is that God will ask you to do something sometimes seemingly crazy to you because it looks so much like what you've been doing. But now he's asking you to do something different, do something that looks similar but different because it has purpose now. And so the story goes on, and they walk around for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they walk around seven times. And on the seventh time, they let out this loud shout, and then the walls of Jericho fall, and they go and they take the city. But the thing is that praise happens because this is an awe-inspiring moment. This is a breathtaking moment. Imagine yourself as an Israelite wandering in the wilderness for years, watching your generations before you pass away and still not receiving the promise that God has given you. And then imagine yourself now at the cusp of your promise, entering into the promised land, being asked now to circle this place, and then the walls are just gonna fall down. This is crazy, but this is God, and this is a gracious God towards you. He asks you to do some things sometimes that are similar to what you've experienced, but totally different because they have a different purpose. You're trusting him. You're experiencing him differently. You're having a new faith building and relationship building experience because you are now in a space where you're circling. Why is this awe-inspiring and why is this praise? Because at the moment that the walls were falling, the people were commissioned to shout with a loud voice. They were looking out and seeing all of this rubble and all of what God had done, and they did nothing. All they did was circle. All they did was walk around, and God did this awe-inspiring and breathtaking thing by causing the walls to crumble. And their response in those moments is to shout and to praise, just like my response in the moment where I'm free falling and watching and looking. I'm not sure. I don't trust parachutes. I don't trust my instructor. I trust the God who is with me as I'm free falling. I'm trusting the God who's with me as I am circling. And this God has given me promises that he intends to keep. And in those moments where he's intending to keep them, I have the opportunity to praise him and to let everyone know how great this God is. So while I'm free falling, while I'm parachuting to the ground, I'm having an opportunity to talk to my instructor and have conversations with him about how great this experience was and how awe-inspiring this experience was. As the Israelites live their life day to day, they create memorials and they are able to tell their descendants of what God has done, the awe-inspiring moment of the Battle of Jericho. This is why praise is so important. This is why you're going to continue to praise him. This is why you're going to tell everyone about what God has done, because you've seen him do something awe-inspiring and breathless, and you just want to shout and shout with a loud voice to the heavens.
Have you ever been in a situation that appeared hopeless or faced a problem that was too difficult to overcome? And as you think about how to get out of this challenge, you find yourself using words like, I can't, it's too hard, impossible. Well, think about this from the eyes of a toddler. My wife and I have a year and a half old son, and his name is Judah, which in Hebrew means praise. We're constantly trying to instill in him the meaning of his name and teach him that one of the keys in life is having a positive attitude. We want to be a half-cup full type of people and show him that praising and trusting God when things get hard will always give him an advantage. But like most kids, that can be tough to learn. Just the other day, he was in front of our apartment playing with his green and yellow tractor. Now, he loves this tractor. He pushes it all over the house and yard. And this particular day, he wanted to take his tractor after he was done back up the stairs to our apartment. However, that seemed to be too daunting of a task. I could see his mind racing, trying to figure out how to accomplish this. The frustration was going as he attempted it multiple times and couldn't do it. And finally, out of irritation, he throws the tractor down and he looks completely defeated. Well, I'm standing there the entire time and I softly say, "Judah, would you like Daddy to help?" And he looks up at me as if to say, "Daddy, I would love you to help." He hands me the tractor. I hold the tractor in one hand, his hand in the other, and we walk back up the stairs as he has a content smile on his face. To him, the problem was too difficult, but from my perspective as a grown adult, obviously it was no problem at all. Well, this reminds me of a story in the Bible when the Israelites were on the border of the Promised Land. They're about to go into Canaan, but before they do, they send in 12 men. And these 12 spies were going to go in and check out to see what they were up against. Well, these men come back, and 10 of them come back saying words like, "We can't. It's impossible. It's too hard. They're like giants and we're like grasshoppers." They focused on what they didn't have rather than what they did have. "We don't have enough manpower. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough weapons. We don't have enough courage. We can't." Well, the other two spies, Caleb and Joshua, didn't focus on what they didn't have. They focused on what they had. Rather than seeing the difficulties, they focused on the possibilities. And they saw not the size of the giants, but the size of their God. They told all the Israelites, "Listen, we have God on our side. He is able to help us and deliver us." They praised God for delivering them even before he did. You know, it reminds me of when Judah and I are in a crowd. He loves to ride on my shoulders because when he's on the ground from his small stature, he can only see the knees and legs of the people around him. But riding on my shoulders, he is taller than everyone else. And in the same way, Caleb and Joshua rode on the shoulders of their heavenly father and were able to have a different perspective and be taller than the giants and all of their problems. They didn't focus on what they didn't have. They focused on what they had, which is God. The 10 spies' discouraging negative mindset impacted all of Israel, and the Israelites were left feeling discouraged, hopeless, and scared. And because of those 10 spies' negativity and their complaining, the Israelites had to go back out into the wilderness for another 40 years. You know, as I think about my own struggles and the problems that I face from day to day, I realize that I often respond to them like the 10 spies. Rather than focusing on what I do have, I focus on the problem and not the solution. And my complaining negative mindset impacts and discourages those around me. God wants me to be like Caleb and Joshua and focus not on human ability, but on God's ability. In Psalm 109, verse 30, David writes these words, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude." As you read all of Psalm 109, you find that either an individual or a group of people are accusing and slandering David. And David is left feeling completely discouraged. In fact, he says in verse 3, "They've surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they're my accusers." To add injury to insult, these people whose David has given kindness to respond to David with cruelty. And David feels betrayed. And all of Psalm 109 is his pouring out his heart to God, telling God what he feels about this person. He doesn't have very nice things to say. He says things like, "God, may their children be fatherless and may his wife be a widow." He wants to completely get rid of this person. But in verse 21, there's a shift in David's thinking. He says, "But you, O Lord God, deal with me for your name's sake. Because your mercy is good, deliver me." He moves from thinking about that other person's accusations and their slandering to God changing his heart. It's as if he is saying, "God, You know, I can't change them, but you can change me. And so he focuses on what God can do and not what man does. And that is why at the end of Psalm 109, he's able to write, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. I will praise him among the multitude. You know, for me, praising God is all about having a winning attitude. When I fail, when I make mistakes, when I mess up, when things don't go my way, I'm going to choose to believe that God is in control and that he has my back. God's character is love, and that means that everything he does is good. And thus, I can respond to life circumstances with hope because I know that God is in control. Some people have called this a faith-based optimism. You see, someone who doesn't know God, they can be optimistic and upbeat, but their positive attitude comes from within themselves. But a Christian's optimism doesn't come from within, but comes from God. So what about you? Are you facing a hopeless situation? Or is life giving you a challenge that seems too difficult to overcome? I want to encourage you to look to God for strength, to not focus on what you don't have, but to focus on what you have, to trust and not in man's ability, but in God's ability. As you ride on God's shoulders, may you face life's challenges with hope and courage.